Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This is a great text, fitting in well with the shepherd theme for this week, and also with the fact that we just celebrated the vicarage placement and call services. For Peter, in exhorting the elders, is giving encouragement and advice to pastors, not only to those of his day, but throughout the entire New Testament era. The apostle, then, is saying to those of us who are or who will be pastors, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Hearing his words, we ask, what is involved in this shepherding? We understand, first, that none of us could be such shepherds left to ourselves on our own because we are sinners. By nature, we were spiritually dead and headed for hell. But God, in his grace, made us alive in Christ Jesus. He brought us to saving faith in Christ, and he preserves us in this faith through his word and sacrament. In addition, God, at our conversion, created the new person in each one of us. A remnant of our old original sinful nature still remains this side of the grave, but we as believers are also new creations. Our new person is holy and in spiritual union with Jesus Christ. Motivated and empowered by him through his means of grace, we can and do put down our sinful nature, resist the temptations of Satan and this evil world, and serve the Lord. So God has brought us to faith, and he has created the new person in us. Further, he who led you into the ministry has equipped you with the talents, training, aptitudes, and special spiritual gifts necessary to be a shepherd. Thus, shepherding involves, first, God's gracious activity in our lives. But second, it involves activity on our part, and the part of those of us who are or will be shepherds. What does a good shepherd do? He feeds, guides, and loves his flock. To feed the flock, that is the congregation, means faithfully to preach and teach the word of God and to administer the sacraments. Paul wrote to Timothy, "Preach the word," which is the motto of this seminary. Too many so-called preachers today are, as David Susskind wrote in an article entitled "The Millennium of the Mental Midgets," men whose sole talent is knowing how to put a wet finger into the wind to see how the zephyrs of public attitude are blowing so that they can appeal to as many people as possible. This wet finger in the wind approach is to be avoided at all costs. For fulfilling the ministry, preach not trendy stuff nor your own nice opinions, both of which are like cotton candy, attractive, tasting good, easily swallowed, but hardly nutritious. Rather, preach and teach Scripture. Provide your people with real spiritual nourishment. Give them both the milk of the Word, the simple matters, and the meat of the Word, the deeper matters. Preach both law and gospel. Preach and teach both aspects of Scripture. With the law, at times, you may have to give a rebuke to an erring individual or erring people in the congregation, which is not easy to do, but nevertheless necessary. However, God grant that the gospel may predominate in your ministry. Preach and teach the good news week after week, how the Son of God became a man, lived the perfect life in the stead of all people, and paid fully for the sins of the whole world with his suffering and death on a cross. The good news remains incomplete, however, without the mention of Christ's resurrection from the dead. This cornerstone of the gospel proves that Jesus is indeed the victor over sin, death, and the devil, and that through faith in him, the living Savior, we have forgiveness and everlasting life. Christ's resurrection points ahead to our glorious resurrection. The story is told of a man who decided to leave a congregation which had a faithful pastor who correctly preached the Word of God. Why? He was asked. He replied, "I'm getting tired of his sermons. Every Sunday he preaches about the resurrection. May that be said about your ministry." While the basic message of law and gospel never changes, the applications you make for the congregation can vary from time to time and situation to situation. We recognize, too, that the different portions of God's Word emphasize the various truths of our Christian faith. Thus, it is important for you to know the people of your congregation and the community context so that you will know on each occasion what specific portion of God's Word to proclaim and how most beneficially to apply it. As we well know, we are living in a society which is becoming increasingly secularistic, anti-Christian, hostile to the Word of God, and pluralistic from the religious standpoint. God will use your preaching and teaching of His Word to give people living in this darkened age a clear declaration of the only way of salvation by God's grace through faith in Jesus. He will use your ministry of word and sacrament to give your members real peace. Through your proclamation of law and gospel, you will be God's instruments to show your people how they are to live according to God's will and to encourage them that, united with Christ as new people, they can serve God, they can do good works to God's glory and for the benefit of others. Their lives will make a difference. Thus, your work has everlasting dimensions. The aspect of leading the flock has already been covered to a large extent under the topic of feeding. Patiently instruct your members in the Word. Let the Word have its leavening influence. And in that way, God will use you to lead the people to right decisions and actions. Leading does not mean driving the flock, nor, as Peter writes, domineering or lording it over those in your charge, those entrusted to your care. By God's grace and power, you will give decisive leadership with a humble spirit, knowing that you are under shepherds, tending the sheep of the chief shepherd, recognizing that you are servants of Jesus Christ. You will remember that as your members, you have been redeemed by Him and are saved by grace alone. Pray for wisdom and vision that you may give your congregation proper guidance. As leaders, pray for your members. Keep in mind the words of our text that with your godly life, you are an example to your people, and in that way, giving them invaluable leadership. Finally, there is the aspect of loving the flock. As the good shepherd loves his sheep, so will you who serve as his under-shepherds. This Christian love, the highest fruit of faith, motivates you to feed and lead the sheep. Without this love, there can be no real ministry. Therefore, show your love to your people by being with them. Rejoice with them in their happy times. Comfort them when they are mourning. Give them encouragement when they are discouraged. Shepherds or future shepherds, as you think about feeding, leading, and loving the flock, you understand that being a pastor is not just a privilege, it is an awesome responsibility and challenge. But also remember, as those who are helped and empowered by the chief shepherd, you can indeed fulfill your ministry. May God mightily bless your work to His glory and for the everlasting welfare of the sheep entrusted to your care. In Jesus' name, amen.